are going to wrap up all day's action, including 3 for Russell Rovers in the AIB All-Ireland Club Junior Final. We're going to be keeping up to date with Father Neil's. They're taking on Tullerone. That game has literally just gotten underway. Elsewhere, we are going to preview Munster's clash tomorrow in the Champions Cup. We'll talk about the Ireland squad that was announced during the week for the Six Nations. We're also going to talk about Conor McGregor. He's back in UFC Octagon tonight. And we're going to talk to Irish Paralympic athlete Orla Barry, who announced her retirement earlier on in the week. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. If you would like to get in touch with us on the show this evening, you can send us a text or even a WhatsApp, 086 810 4106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. As I mentioned, we will keep up to date on that Father Neil's Tullamore game, which is just a minute old, no score there yet, as both teams try and get a hold of the ball for more than 5-10 seconds. Tomás O'Leary is alongside me, and Tomás, how are you, boy?
I'm great, Rory. Yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain now today, except for that defeat for Russell Rovers today.
Yeah, really disappointing, but kind of never got going. And to be fair to the Kilkenny crowd, were just that bit sharper and were generally 4 or 5 points ahead in the game. So yeah, very disappointing, but look, they can still take massive pride in the fact, you know, they got to an Ireland final, they're going up to the intermediate grade next year, and look, they'll look back in pride with the year. But yeah, obviously going up to Croke Park, massive disappointment coming home with a loss.
Yeah, certainly so. They just never really got into the game. They were 4 points down early in the game, and they were always chasing the game, got back to 2 points a couple of times. But just that Kerry Conaghy Shamrock's outfit, they were fantastic. They were very quick, very pacey, very skillful on the ball as well, and caused that Russell Rovers defence all in the problems all the way through the 60 minutes.
Yeah, look, I suppose the space in Croke Park, and you know, the fact that even in January you're playing on a carpet of a pitch.
Yeah, so looks immaculate here. We're just watching the Father Neil's again now, but the pitch looks absolutely incredible for this time of year.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. And do you know, the Kilkenny crowd, you know, typical Kilkenny hurling, sharp, quick, and just never gave Russell Rovers a chance. But look, hopefully their near neighbours, Father O'Neill's, will have a better day at the office. But as you said, it's been a scrappy start to that game, and another wide there for Tullerone. But look, looking at the TV there now, it's kind of days like this that you'd want them to play in hurling again.
Are you getting that club itch now? Going to get lads up there in zone and buzz going, lads, I'm coming back.
I don't think they'd take me anyway, based on the evidence that I've given over the last few years. But no, it's I suppose it's obviously in your head you think you're going to be better than you are. But look,
I have that problem every day.
I think I'll stick in this chair now with you, Rory, if you keep me.
Yeah, no score there after 3 and a bit minutes there between O'Neill's and Tullerone. Right, Tomás going to get us up to date and everything that happened today.
We'll kick off with Gaelic games. So, and obviously back to the disappointment for Russell Rovers in the AIB All-Ireland Junior Club Hurling Championship Final. The East Cork side have lost out to Conaghy Shamrocks of Kilkenny 22 points to 15 in Croke Park. Fellow East Cork side Father O'Neill's would be hoping for a better outcome. They're currently taking on Tullerone of Kilkenny in the Intermediate Final that, like we said, has just kicked off. Galway beat Roscommon 114 to 11 points in the FBD Insurance Connacht Final League in Dr. Hyde Park today. Captain Shane Walsh with the goal for the tribesmen from the penalty spot. Pádraig Doyle's side finished with 14 men after defender Eamon Brannigan was sent off just over an hour. Longford beat Offaly 112 to 11 points in the Bournemouth O'Byrne Cup final in Tullamore. Wexford have beaten the defending champions Galway in the Walsh Cup final. Wexford 116, Galway 19 points was how it finished in Portlaoise. This evening, Ulster's Dr. McKenna Cup final pits Tyrone against Monaghan in the Athletics ground at 7:30. And on to football in the Premier League. Man City have dropped points yet again. They've drawn 2-2 with Crystal Palace, so they're 13 points now behind Liverpool.
They're just handing Liverpool the league title. We'll have the full-time report on that one coming up in a bit, and we'll talk about how early Liverpool can win the league title, but it's turning into a procession for Liverpool.
Yeah, look, I suppose for everyone bar Liverpool fans, it almost seems boring at this stage. I know they've waited a long time for it, but I suppose for the most members of the public and neutrals, it's lost the excitement, really.
Father Neil's off the mark there as well. They've got the opening score of the game. They lead at Tullerone by a point. No scores taken, almost 5 minutes for the first score in that game.
Elsewhere in the Premier League, it finished Watford 0, Tottenham Hotspur 0. Arsenal 1, Sheffield United 1, Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Aston Villa 1, Man City 2, Crystal Palace 2, Norwich City 1, AFC Bournemouth 0, Southampton 2, Wolves 3, West Ham United 1, Everton 1. And in this evening's kickoff, it's currently Newcastle 0 and Chelsea 0. Leeds have missed a chance to go top of the EFL Championship. They would have climbed above West Brom with a win at QPR today, but they lost 1-0. And over to Scotland, the Scottish Cup holders Celtic attempt to remain on course for a fourth domestic treble in a row when they face Partick Thistle this evening. That kicked off at 5:30, and it's currently Partick Thistle 0, Celtic 1. And Cork's Conor McCarthy is off to a winning start with St Mirren. They've beaten Broxburn Athletic 3-0.
Yeah, Lee Griffiths there with the goal for Celtic after 12 minutes, 34 minutes on the clock. Father Neil's with a chance from a 65 and they put it over the bar. It's Father Neil's 2 points, Tullerone no score. 6 minutes on the clock there in Croke Park.
In the FAI Intermediate Cup fourth round, Ringmahon Rangers have beaten Bangor by 2-1. Ringmahon Rangers are now into the quarterfinals.
That was a fantastic result for Ringmahon Rangers today. They were goal down to the Dublin side, got 2 goals in the space of 2 minutes down Ringmahon Park. Fantastic for them to be into the quarterfinals.
Absolutely. And College Corinthians were due to face Bonagy United in Letterkenny tomorrow. However, that has been postponed and will now take place on Sunday, February the 2nd.
Yeah, it was a smart decision, I think, because obviously all the College Corinthians crew would have had to travel today. And obviously with the cold snap that's there, and you'd imagine the pitch wouldn't be playable tomorrow. So they made the sensible thing of calling it off more than, calling it off 24 hours in advance, as opposed to everyone getting to Letterkenny and saying, actually, lads, the pitch isn't going to be ready or playable. So a very smart decision, I think, there. Just mention as well to Rob Heffernan, who tweeted earlier on today, his son Cahill captained the Ireland under-15s against Australia under-17s today, and they won 2-0 as well. So Cahill Heffernan looks a fantastic footballer, big strong centre-half as well, so a very proud moment today for the Heffernan family.
Yeah, fair play to them. Obviously, it would have known Rob from my dancing. he's a madman. But look, Cahill is seems to be a bit of a prodigy in terms of sport. I think he's the Cork GA. I think they're mad to get their hands on him too. I think he's 14, 15 playing under 16 up to minor. And I think he's one of the best players out in the Rockies. Mm. So there'd be a big kind of scrap for him there in terms of GA and soccer. But I guess the professional lifestyle will probably win out. So look, I know it's early days in his career, but it certainly looks like good times ahead for him.
Yeah, he's over and back and stuff to Preston as well. I think there's another couple of clubs sniffing after him as well, but very early days, yeah. But fantastic to see a Cork man captain in Ireland today.
On to the rugby, and Leinster have secured a home quarter final in the Heineken Champions Cup. They've beaten Benetton Treviso 18 points to no score in Italy. Caelan Doris and James Tracy went over the line for the Blues, and boss Leo Cullen is happy to have home advantage in the next round.
There's the statistical advantage of playing at home in a quarter final. That doesn't really count for much, but you know it's important that we try and make it count. So hopefully we'll get a big crowd, which I presume will be at the Aviva Stadium. And you know, like a lot of the support that are here today don't have quite as far to travel to go to the game. So I think it's very positive overall.
That Leinster machine just keeps on rolling, doesn't it?
Yeah, very impressive. And look, I don't think many people doubted that they'd be able to go over to Italy and get a result. Mm. I think obviously it was a pretty scrappy game. They have improved a lot over there, to be fair, Treviso. But look, like you said, Leo, there, it'll be very hard for anyone to beat Leinster away from home in a quarter final.
Third point now for Father Nilsley by 3 points. No score. This is a cracking start for the East Cork side. 8.5 minutes on the clock now in Croke Park.
And back to the rugby, where in the other game in Leinster's Pool 1, Northampton have beaten Leon 36 points to 24, which is bad news for Munster's hopes of progressing.
Yeah, because Munster need about 40 results to go their way this weekend, don't they? Including getting that bonus point win tomorrow against the Ospreys. But,
I think Glasgow got a couple of early tries. I think they're playing Sale, so they also need that one to go their way. So
yeah, Glasgow leading 21-0 okay. They're approaching half time.
So yeah, it doesn't look good for Munster, unfortunately. Ulster, on the other hand, have beaten Bath to book their place in the knockout stages. 22-15 is how it finished up in Belfast. So good news there for the Ulster fans. I think that was pretty average performance, but
yeah, scrappy enough, wasn't it? We were kind of half watching that and half watching the Rustler Rovers game at the same time. It was scrappy enough there. I don't think they'll care there into the last eight.
Yeah, exactly. Look, big improvement and probably the most improved side in Ireland, so fair play to them. In the Women's Super League, Fordham Matthews have beaten IT Carlo 104-76. And then at 5:30 in the Men's Super League, Colin C and Neptune go to Dublin Lions.
Yeah, so at the end of the first quarter there was Neptune leading 21 points to 13.
And Ireland's cricketers will look to clinch victory in their T20 series in the West Indies tonight. They're 1-0 up in the three-match contest after a narrow win in the high-scoring opening game in Granada on Wednesday.
All right, Tullerone have gotten their first point of the game there as well. So it's Father Neil's leading 3 points to one with 10 minutes now.
And on to snooker. It's semi-finals day in the 2020 Masters in London. Ali Carter has booked his place in the final at the Alexandra Palace with a 6-3 win over Sean Murphy. And tonight at 7, David Gilbert faces Stuart Bingham. And Conor McGregor has tipped the scales at 170 pounds limit ahead of his mixed martial arts comeback bout tonight. The Notorious will face Donald Cowboy Cerrone in the main event of the UFC 246 in Las Vegas. McGregor hasn't fought in the octagon since 2018.
Yeah, since he lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov. So yeah, we'll talk about McGregor a little bit later on. We'll hear from him a little bit later on as well. But that fight should be about half four-ish. There or thereabouts. Tonight, going to wrap up all today's Premier League action with reports from around the grounds, and the big result of the day was Man City and Crystal Palace playing on a 2-2 draw at the Etihad. Darren Stanage.
Manchester City 1, Crystal Palace 1. It's that man Sergio Aguero arriving at the far post to volley home Gabriel.
Apologies, that's not the full time report there. That is a goal update from earlier on in the game. But yes, City 2, Palace 2 was how it finished earlier on today. If that, like, 13 points clear, they are of Liverpool are 13 points clear now. They place Manchester United tomorrow. Based on current form, you'd expect Liverpool to win that, so they will go 16 points clear tomorrow. It's a question of when Liverpool are going to win the league title. I'm just looking at some reporting today. They could win the league title on the weekend of March 14th, 15th if the results keep going the way they are. Their way at Everton that weekend, it would smash the record by a month. Manchester United hold the current record for earliest title win. They won the championship in 2001 under Sir Alex Ferguson on April 14th, 2001, with 5 games to spare. So this is turning into a procession from Liverpool, not helped by a really, really meek a performance, I suppose, from City over the last one.
Yeah, look, City kind of have dropped their standards really over the last few years, and Pep Guardiola almost, like, doesn't look disinterested, but he's certainly not as invested or passionate as he was over the last few years. So I think he has a clause in his contract that he can leave at the end of the season.
Yeah.
He's denied that, but I think it's popular knowledge, or it's been reported, that he has that clause. So and then obviously the likes of United, Arsenal, Chelsea, these teams have fallen from grace really from once where they once were. So it really was a two-horse race at the start of the year, and with City underwhelming, I suppose. Look, you can't take anything away from Liverpool. If they do achieve or break that record, it's going to be phenomenal, and regardless of, even if they fell over the line now, I think Liverpool fans will just be delighted to finally get their hands on
the league. Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah, I don't think they'll care when it's going to happen. It's looking like they could go on and do an invincible season like Arsenal in 2004. They had 26 wins and 12 draws, but Liverpool's form so far this season, 20 wins, 1 draw from 21 games, has been absolutely incredible.
It's crazy.
And it's only a matter of time when they win the league title. And as they say, Manchester United come tomorrow at 4:30, and you'd imagine, based on form, that would be 3 points for the Reds. Right, going to go around the grounds now, going to go to the Emirates. Arsenal and Sheffield United finishing up 1-1. Andrew Cheel.
Arsenal won, the Sheffield United won. The Gunners were ahead in the first half added time. A simple far post tap in for Gabriel Martinelli from a really delightful looping cross from the young fullback Saka. Two 18-year-olds involved in the goal. Arsenal had other chances before and after that, but they lacked decisiveness, or to put it another way, they missed Aubameyang. They paid the price 12 minutes from time when Fleck drove left-footed into the top corner for the equaliser. United thoroughly deserved their point. Arsenal can have no complaints. It finished Arsenal 1, Sheffield United 1.
That's where Wolves have beaten Southampton 3-2 in their clash at St Mary's. Alan Lewis.
It's finished Southampton 2, Wolves 3. A remarkable game of football. Southampton were 2-0 up at the break thanks to goals from Jan Bednarek and Shane Long's first of the season. But the game turned on its head in the second half. Neto volleyed home to make it 2-1. Jimenez then converted a penalty awarded by VAR, and then Jimenez again slotting the ball home after some good work by Traore completing the comeback. It could have been very different had Shane Long's header gone the other side of the post with the score at 2-0. 2-0, end-to-end stuff. A great game. It's finished. Southampton 2, Wolves 3.
David Moyes up against his old side today as West Ham took on Everton. Joe Rawson.
Full-time, West Ham United 1, Everton 1. David Moyes hasn't managed to get one over his former side, and he'll look back as a number of missed opportunities in the first 45 for the reason his team hasn't taken maximum points. Both goals came from set pieces in the space of four first half minutes. The hosts breaking the deadlock after a Robert Snodgrass free kick was headed in by Issa Diop. A ninth goal of the season for Dominic Calvert-Lewin levelled the game for Everton as he headed in a corner that was flicked on by Mason Holgate. It was tit for tat in the second half, but neither side could find the winner. Spoils shared in the David Moyes derby. West Ham United 1, Everton 1.
Norwich beating Bournemouth today by a goal to nil. Mike Lawrence.
Norwich City 1, Bournemouth 0. Norwich were handed a valuable first half lead, quite literally after a bizarre handball by Bournemouth defender Steve Cook, blocking Andre Duda's goalbound effort inside the area. Timu Pukki converted the spot kick, but Norwich struggled to make the man advantage count, and the sides were levelled up when Ben Godfrey was red carded for a foul on Callum Wilson after a VAR check midway through the second half. It was end to end at the finish, but Norwich take the 3 points. Bournemouth are in desperate trouble. Norwich 1, Bournemouth 0.
Father O'Neill's have just gotten a smashing goal to Moss. They now lead Tuller on by 1-3 to a point after 16 minutes.
Yeah, fantastic start. It was Dalton, full forward, who got it. Nice ball in, and he went on to his strong left side and just buried it past the Tuller on goalie. So, look, great lead, and they've got a free out now as well. In the front, just inside their own 65. So, fantastic start for these Cork men.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic stuff indeed. It's been low scoring enough so far in the opening half of the first half, but Father Neil's 5 points to the good after 16 and a half minutes. Alright, Brighton and Aston Villa playing out a 1-1 draw at the MX today. Richard Newman.
Full time, Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Aston Villa 1. Jack Grealish salvaging a point for Villa, his equaliser 15 minutes from time, punishing some sloppy play from Brighton, who didn't make the most of their first half dominance. They had several chances in that half, but only took one of them. Leandro Trossard firing into the bottom corner. Villa improved after the break as Brighton became more careless in possession and were caught out in a quick counter attack, which led to Grealish firing in, and former Liverpool keeper Pepe Reina on his Villa debut made a brilliant diving save late on from Neil Maupay to keep the scores level. And Maupay, who lost his cool near the end and was coming together between both sets of players after the final whistle, Lewis Dunk had to haul Maupay down the tunnel at the end. Not a result which does these struggling sides much good. It's finished Brighton 1, Aston Villa 1.
Another score for Father O'Neill's. They're leading Tuller on 1-4 to a point. This has been a sensational start, considering in the first game Russell Rovers got off to a very, very slow start against Conaghy Shamrocks. Father Neil's certainly not letting the occasion get to them.
No, another point from Decky Dalton as well. About best part of 100 yards out from his own goal, or from so look, unbelievable start for Father O'Neill's, and if they continue this, it looks like there's another Titan coming back to Ladysbridge.
Well, fingers crossed. Anyway, still a lot of hurling to go. Yeah, at 18 minutes on the clock, O'Neill's 1-4 to the run. A point. We'll keep updated on that one. Last update, Watford and Spurs finishing scoreless. Nigel Bidmead.
Watford 0, Tottenham 0. Watford will be kicking themselves after spurning a host of chances, including a second half penalty. Spurs will be grateful to avoid a third consecutive league defeat. The big moment came on 63. Spurs captain Jan Vertonghen handled in the area. Troy Deeney struck the penalty well, but it was waist high, and Paolo Gazzaniga guessed right to make the save. Spurs could have won it in stoppage time, but Lamella's effort was cleared off the line. Watford 0, Spurs 0.
So that's Spurs in 8th spot, 8 points away from the top four. Top 4, I should say. Going to hear briefly from Jose Mourinho and what he had to say.
Good game, competitive. I think we dominate for long periods, but it's impossible to dominate against them for 90 minutes. So they had also their periods where with their direct football they arrive in dangerous positions and they create lots of long balls and crosses and second balls, which is always difficult to play against. But I think a good game and a good performance by my team with the limitations that we know that we have, but trying to hide them and trying to use also the great potential that we have in other areas, playing with a super offensive team. We couldn't play more offensive than what we did. And okay, goal line technology is very honest, is very 100% accurate. So yes, 1 millimeter, but I respect goal line technology.
Yeah, so that's Jose Mourinho talking about today's game and the fact that the ball pretty much had crossed the entire line, but only a millimetre, hadn't, ruling out a goal for Spurs today. But just even hearing the report there, they avoided a third consecutive defeat. Things aren't going Spurs' way at the moment, which suggests that the problem isn't as easy as changing the manager's mouth.
Yeah, look, Levy hasn't got the, I suppose, the bit of a boost from hiring a new manager and Mourinho coming in. So I always thought it was a mistake getting rid of Pochettino, but even listening to the interview there, you'd almost fall asleep listening to Mourinho.
He sounds just bored already.
Yeah, he does. He said he claimed to have learned lessons from his last spell at United and everything when he was like coming it. In, but yeah, it doesn't really sound like it. And players, you know, they don't seem to be reinvigorated or energised by him. Mm. And look, there's probably going to be some high profile exits, unfortunately. Unless Mourinho or Levy can convince them to stay. Mm. So yeah, look, tough time for Spurs, and they're obviously big to get back into the Champions League, you know.
A lot of ground to cover as things stand. Chelsea drawing nil all the way to Newcastle. That game has just gone half time, so as things stand, Tottenham 9 points off the Champions League places at the moment, so things certainly not going Jose Mourinho's way there at the new White Hart Lane. Tullerone have gotten another score, so it's Father Neil's 1-4, Tullerone 2 points in what's been a fairly low scoring game, but O'Neill's doing quite well, Tomás.
Yeah, 21 minutes gone, but look, they'll be happy with their start. You know, it's a decent lead. They seem to have a bit of momentum, a chance for another score here. I think that's Owen Conway.
That's gone wide,
trail wide, yeah. But look, there's still evidence that myself and Roy might be popping out to Ladies Bridge for a few pints to join the celebrations tonight.
Well, you're in East Cork tonight anyway, because you're at the East Cork Sports Awards tonight.
Yeah, I'm down that direction anyway. So look, I'll have to get on to the wife now to maybe see if I can head down the road to Ladies Bridge. She's been looking after the kids now for the day, so I don't think I'll stretch.
I wouldn't chance that. No, probably not. No, I'd be at the Rebel Oak Awards tonight as well. At the Clayton Hotel Silver Spring, so looking forward to that one a little bit later on. Tullerone have closed the gap again. Father Neil's 1-4, Tullerone 3 points. Nice little spell this for the Kilkenny side. Going to talk rugby now, because the Ireland squad for the Six Nations was named earlier on in the week. 8 months to players: Noel, Dave Kilcoyne, Jack O'Donoghue, Peter O'Mahony, CJ Standrew, Andrew Conway, Keith Earls, Chris Farrell and Connor Murray. Any Munster players you surprised didn't get the call-up?
Probably would have thought that Niall Scannell would have deserved
it. He's versatile, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And look, he's played every game for Munster, really. He started every game for Munster. Heffernan, obviously, from Connacht has got the nod. Which, look, he's probably been in decent form, but it's a big call from Farrell, I suppose. It's an indication of, you know, if you have genuine form, the likes of Jack O'Donoghue coming in as well, he's going to pick you. Mm. So that's probably good for you know, players on the periphery, whereas Schmidt seemed to have his tried and trusted lieutenants, and he kind of stuck to them as much as possible. So it's kind of a good indication, really, that hopefully, you know, the foreign players will be picked. But I think that's probably the biggest surprise. Obviously, Ruddock from Leinster as well might have been a bit disappointed.
That was the big surprise, really, that he wasn't included.
Yeah, but although he's had a bit of form in the World Cup, but he's actually never started a Six Nations game, so it's not as if he's got a wealth of experience at international rugby. Again, his versatility across the back row is big, and look, his leadership skills, but he probably was one of the foreign back rows in the World Cup, albeit I think he only started against Russia. So yeah, but surprising that he hasn't got the nod. I think like some Max Deegan and Caelan Norris, just the power they have and the, you know, the what they can bring, the explosivity that they can bring off the back of a scrum, I don't think you could ignore their claims. So look, that kind of youth and that enthusiasm has kind of got the nod. But yeah, definitely from a Munster point of view, I think Niall Scannell is probably the unluckiest there.
Yeah, considering he had minutes game time at the World Cup as well.
Look, he's
So, a number of players who played at the World Cup actually aren't featured.
Yeah, who's like, I suppose you've obviously Rob Kearney as well after, look, an unbelievable, like, I think I made my debut for Munster in 2005, and I think the actual same game, I think Rob Kearney was making his debut in Leinster colours, and he's what he's achieved with Leinster, how many, three or four Heineken Cups, three or four Six Nations with Ireland, Lions Tours, just a phenomenal career thus far, and he's still going obviously with Leinster, but I think it's probably a passing of the guard. You know, Ireland probably want to play, they have a chance at a goal here, good defence by Father Niels to keep him out, but probably a change of the guard for Farrell, like, you know, to maybe have a bit more ambition and maybe have an attacking threat coming from full back. Cairns was obviously an unbelievable player for Ireland, but the likes of Will Addison, he played today now for Ulster, set up a try, scored a try, he's been fantastic. And you know, those kind of players, attacking from deep, returning deep kicks, it could be kind of an exciting transition for Ireland. So look, that's probably a big omission as well, Rob Kearney.
Yeah, three uncapped players as well, Ulster's Billy Burns and Tom O'Toole, five uncapped players I should say, and then it's the trio of Max, Deegan, Cale and Doris, who scored a try for Leinster today, and Ronan Kelleher, so some very exciting players coming through.
Yeah, Ronan Kelleher looks like a machine. He was scoring tries for fun there for, I think, the first four or five games in a row of the Pro 14 he scored. Look, some of them might have been off the back of a mauler, right? Mm-hmm. But he's a massive unit of a young fella. Has been very, very impressive. So well deserved for him. And like I said, Max Deegan and Caelan Doris have been really impressive. Interesting to see Billy Burns get the call up as an option at out half. Look, it's an indication of how far Ulster have progressed, and he's kind of controlled that ship. See, John Cooney generally has the kicking duties. Billy Burns knocked over one today, all right. But look, it's a reward for him, and he's...
It's a goal for Tullamore. Sorry to cut across you there, Tomás, but Father Niels have gone to sleep in the last 5 minutes. They were 6 points to the good. They now trail by a point. It's Tullamore 1-5, Father Niels 1-4. 27 minutes on the clock, and that was a bit too easy from a Father Niels perspective.
Yeah, worrying signs, all right. It's one of the Tullamore attackers kind of just carried the ball and shipped off a little hand pass to their centre forward, and a lovely finish from him, in fairness. So I think it's time for Father Niels to maybe slow the game down a bit, settle it down, and just try and nick the next point. But no, it's not, no need for panic stations yet.
Martin Kilgan was with the goal, the number 11 there for Tullamore. Fantastic finish from close range, admittedly, but Tullamore have really stepped it up in the last couple of minutes, and Father Niels are struggling to get to grips with this.
Yeah, look, they've just pressurised the Kilkenny defence into giving away a free, so chance for Decky Dalton, the ever reliable free taker, to level the game up now and settle down Father Niels game plan again.
The other big talking point this week from the Irish perspective was obviously they needed a new captain after Rory Best retired, and that went to Johnny Sexton. A lot of people maybe complaining on Twitter, saying that Sexton is maybe too old and maybe isn't guaranteed to start, and his injury record and all that. But when you look down the options, he's probably the most logical choice.
I think so. I guess from a Munster point of view, obviously we'd have loved to have seen Peter O'Mahony get it. And he's captained the Lions, and obviously a lot of experience captaining Munster. I think...
Well, Dalton has put that free wide, so it remains to number 1-5. O'Neill's 1-4, 28 minutes gone on the clock there in
I think Munster's farm really has probably, you know, Pete has struggled in one or two games since he come back. He was fantastic against Racing last week. We all know the leadership qualities he had, but I think it's probably a sensible choice from Farrell's point of view. Sexton has been there and done that. He's been World Player of the Year. He's been on Lions Tours. He's in a leadership position at 10 anyway. He's making the choices as to whether he kicks the corner or kicks a goal himself. The extra pressure, it won't faze him. Look, I suppose there has been criticism of his captaincy style at times and how he interacts with referees. I suppose the most recent point was last year's game against Munster in Thomond Park, where he kind of, I suppose, lost his head really. Got involved with Finian Witcherly in an altercation, kind of they got a bit, I suppose, ratty with Frank Murphy, the referee, and a lot of people questioned whether he had, I suppose, the calm head a la Rory Best to deal with referees. And I suppose be a talking point and be a calm, reassuring point of contact for a referee. So that's maybe the only question over him. But that experience he has, you think that he will be able to develop that rapport with referees and bring all that experience he has to play. But look, in terms of players looking up to him within the squad, him speaking, him leading, him demanding, I suppose, standards. I think it's a good choice for Irish rugby, and especially in a period of transition, you want that experienced head in there. So, look, I think it's a good choice by Farrell.
As you say, it is a period of transition. Father Neil's just equalised there, 1-5 to 1-5 is how it stands now against Tullerone. What are Ireland's expectations going to the Six Nations?
I think it'll be about maybe getting 3 wins minimum. Look, we're away to England and Twickenham, and we're away to France. France have named a pretty experimental team. They've a very young squad really as well, but anytime you go to Paris is going to be difficult. Big goal chance here.
Tullerone in for another goal here. Is in, and that is very poor from a Father Neil's perspective. It is Tullerone leading out 2-5. 2-1-5. It was Peter Walsh, I think, got the goal, broke his hurley in the process as well. Very slack defending from Father O'Neill's, and they look like they're going to go in behind now as a result of that.
Yeah, your hurling traditionalists will be turning in their grave. They're, Paul O'Neill's trying to play out from the back, and just a misplaced pass. Tullerone really took it full advantage. But look, you can imagine what the management will be saying from the sideline, is just drive the ball out. But I guess that's the way the modern game has gone. Teams are trying to maintain possession, and that's the risk you take. Paul O'Neill's have got a free as well, another chance for Dickie Dalton to cut the lead to 2 points.
Yeah, just on halfway. It's
very frustrating, I guess, after that brilliant start.
They were 6 points up at one point, and they were looking really, really good, and we were praising them so much. And then Tullerone have turned it on. They were the favourites coming to this, the Kilkenny side, and just we wait for Dalton to take this free. This will reduce the gap to 2. Get into half time, and as Dalton hits it, it's up, it is going good, and striker. It is over the bar. It's a fantastic free from Dickie Dalton. That means they'll go into the half time break. 2 points in rears. Half time whistle has just gone. Tullerone 2-5, Father O'Neill's 1-6. So plenty for Father O'Neill's to do in the end. But we're going to talk more rugby in a bit. We're going to look ahead to Munster's Champions Cup game tomorrow. And we're going to hear from Billy Holland and Johan van Graan as well. For that, we're going to take a quick break. Before that, we're going to get a halftime report from St James's Park, where Newcastle and Chelsea are going head-to-head.
Newcastle 0, Chelsea 0. Not a game full of excitement to warm you up on a cold Saturday night in Newcastle. Chelsea very much dominating the ball and looking the more assured, but Newcastle will feel happy with the way they've defended. They've not appeared in too much trouble. Indeed, it was the home side with the best chance. Joe Linton doing well to get his head on the end of a cross and rattle the crossbar with it. Half time, Newcastle 0, Chelsea 0.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Munster.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. Rory O'Hagan, Tomás O'Leary here with you until 7 p.m. Half time in Croke Park. Not a good latter part of the second half for Father O'Neill's, who were in control of that game against Tullerone. However, 2 Tullerone goals sees Father O'Neill's trailing Tullerone 2-5 to 1-6. And from a Munster perspective, Tomás, not looking good at all. Glasgow Warriors leading Sale Sharks at 21 points to nil. So as things stand, according to Colm Kinsella on Twitter of the Limerick Leader, a bonus point win for Glasgow means that Munster will be out of the Champions Cup basically before they even kick off tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be a right damn squib tomorrow in Thomond Park. And you'd suspect that Glasgow look definitely on course to secure that bonus point. Sale have nothing to play for in the Champions Cup. So look, it seems like unfortunately it'll be a bit of a
bit of a nothing game.
Yeah, but look, I guess then on the flip side, you've the likes of Calvin Nash coming in on the wing, opportunity for him. Jack O'Sullivan's come onto the bench, fantastic number 8. he can play 6-2, and then the likes of Ben Healy and Craig Casey as well are on the bench. So if kind of things don't go away in results, then hopefully there's an opportunity for give these guys genuine game time in Champions Cup, get that experience at Thomond Park, and I suppose develop them for the rest of the season and next year. But yeah, look, hopefully by some miracle Glasgow failed to secure another try, and there's something to play for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted on that one, but it's not looking too likely there, it has to be said. Alright, Billy Holland making his 225th appearance for Munster tomorrow. He goes up to 4th on the all time list of appearances ahead of Marcus Horan. Going to hear from him speaking at the pre-match press conference.
Nick Castleland, Daddy ran the bar, Mammy ran the shop.
We're playing at home in Thomond Park in Europe. The only thing that matters for us is winning, and in the process attempting to get 4 tries. But we know that you got to start with the most important bit, and that's winning and showing people how much this competition means to us, and going out doing ourselves justice and having the pride we have with this competition, and performing on Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's all we can control, with a few small little adjustments. I've every confidence that we can get there, and we've a huge part to play in our season. Yes, Europe is out of our control to a certain extent, but there's a long way to go, and you know, we've played Sarries and Racing home and away. They were semi-finalists in Europe for the last 3 seasons, and we have gotten better. We're still not beating them, but we're going in the right direction, which, yeah, it's frustrating when you get those results, but as I said, we're going the right direction. It's certainly putting on a performance for the fans, but it's putting on a performance for ourselves as a squad. You know, we've 45 players, you know, loads of management. We owe it to everybody who's involved with the Munster brand to perform on Sunday. And then you've got the fans, you know, walking around the arena after the game, applauding the fans. It's emotional, it's hard, particularly when you've lost. And we want to go out and, as I said, do what we can, firstly for ourselves, and then very importantly for our fans, because 19,000 tickets sold for a round 6 game where we're out of control of what can happen is incredible, and it's a testament to how loyal our fans are, and we appreciate it so much, and you know, we want to repay that on Sunday. Yeah, but you see what someone like Alan Wynne-Jones does to change up a mentality in a team, how one man can turn the mentality of a team around. Yeah, they've had a tough season, but they ran Sarries close most of the weekend. They've got some of their Welsh internationals back, so they also have nothing to lose. They're looking for a win, their first win in the competition, so they won't have any fears. You know, from their point of view, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to lose another match in Europe. They're out anyway, so they're going to come fearless, which is always a dangerous proposition against a team with a lot of talent throughout their squad. So, you know, as I said, we're focusing going out and get a win on Sunday, and whatever happens, happens.
That's Billy Holland, who makes appearance number 225 for Munster yesterday. He'll now be 4th on the all-time appearances list for the Reds. He has been around for so long, and he's just been so consistent over his entire career, Tomás.
Yeah, Billy, I would have first played with Billy in school. He was on the senior cup team. He was in 4th year, I was in 6th year, and there's a gang of them from 4th year, Duncan Williams, Dara Hurley as well. They all went down to play with Munster. But yeah, look, I think he made his debut 2006, I think it was, or 7 maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, to be behind, I guess, like Paul O'Connell, Dunica O'Callaghan, Dunica Ryan, Mick O'Driscoll, you know, he stayed patient for a long time. It was, I suppose, essentially had to make do with the Pro 12 games for a long time, but the last 5-6 years he's become a key component in that Munster team. Mm-hmm. A key leader there. Any fellow who plays 220 odd professional games for Munster,
yeah.
Look, it just I suppose it just shows how much I suppose talent and I suppose ability that he has. And look, he's a real popular guy within the Munster squad. Yeah. So look, a tough interview for him there, you know. Mm. trying to big up a game that maybe
that he knew himself.
And Osprey side who've been totally underwhelming. But look,
the fact that, as Billy said, over 17,000 tickets sold, and some more have been sold for tomorrow as well, I mean, like, says a lot that the Munster fans still want to get out there and support their team.
Yeah, look, I think it does, and you know, that relationship with the supporters is genuinely something kind of really special, that, you know, it's not till you go away and play with another team that you realise that it's kind of almost parochial. It's as genuine as it gets in professional rugby. Look, Munster fans are disappointed. Munster fans are frustrated. They expect, obviously, success. But I think they must appreciate that, I guess, this side has probably overachieved in the last few years, getting to semi-finals, like Billy alluded to. You know, we probably didn't have the biggest playing budgets, and you know, you're restricted in terms of players you can sign by the RFU. So I think while this year getting out of the group is incredibly disappointing, I think that you can't really criticise the playing group or the management too much. And look, there are signs that, you know, they are improving, but it's great to see Munster support has come out in force again.
Alright, we're going to hear now from Dave Kilcoyne.
I think any time you put on a red jersey, it's not hard to get yourself up. Obviously we were bitterly disappointed to lose to Racing. You know, I thought we competed very well with them for 70 minutes, and unfortunately I think the last 10 minutes, they were, and full credit to them, they deserved the win. They ran away with it a bit. The task is now, you know, you got to dust yourself off quickly and get ready for a very hungry Ospreys team. You know, they need wins. They haven't a win in this competition yet, so they're going to be definitely going to be targeting the scalp and Thomond Park off us, and we got to be emotionally and mentally ready and physically prepared for that on Sunday. We had a review of the game this morning. I thought it was quite a positive review. You know, we went through attack D, a lot of areas, and one thing that we did highlight is just finishing the game. I thought we actually started the Racing game, was one of the best starts we've had in the last year or two to a game. I thought we really came out of the blocks well, which is something we hadn't been doing. So I thought that was quite a positive to take from it. But it's certainly something we need to address. You know, the last 10-15 minutes and a couple of games have really hurt us. So, you know, we're looking at different things. We're looking at, you know, obviously impacts off the bench, you know, fitness in the squad. You know, we look at each other. You know, you look at yourself first and then you look at others. And but we're going through everything with a fine-tooth comb to try and come up with solutions for this weekend.
Yes, Dave Kilcoyne there, mentioning, as we discussed last week, Tomás, just the last 12 minutes against Racing when they scored 3 tries, and Dave on about like finishing the games a bit stronger. And Munster so good last week against Racing for 70 minutes, just couldn't keep up for the 80.
Yeah, look, I guess that's again down to the strength of the squad and Racing able to unleash seasoned internationals off the bench. And probably, you know, the Munster even front row had to go an extra 10 minutes to make a switch compared to, you know, Racing doing it in the 50th minute. But look, it's tough. It's probably, the scoreline was definitely harsh on them, but, you know, it was a 3 or 4 tries.
Yeah, 3 tries and 12 minutes.
Yeah, you know, that you know, they conceded to Munster's 1. I don't think Munster could have any complaints with the final result. So look, like Kilcoyne said there, try and finish out games better. Look, it's probably a hard thing that you can say it, but it's a hard thing to do. It's kind of the process. Every player, every minute just takes care of itself. So it's kind of a generic thing to, you know, when you hear teams talking about starting well or finishing well, it's you can't really prep for that, or you can't really prepare to do that. But I suppose, look, himself, his own game has been going really well this year, and he's probably been one of the four Munster players, really, particularly in first half over in Paris. He was incredible carrying the ball, and look, hopefully a few more players can drag them along and up to his standards, and I think that will improve the Munster squad.
All right, back underway in Croke Park as well. Father Neil's training till around 2-5 to 1-6 in the AIB Intermediate Club Final. First score here is vital, you think?
Look, if Father Neil's can stay within touch, look, they're still in touching distance, but if they can get momentum back on their side, Tullerone definitely confidence hasn't gone up. But look, it's very scrappy start to the second half as well again. But Father Neil's have a chance here, an opportunity to.
That's gone over the bar.
Looks like it's gone over the bar. So look,
gap is back to one.
Back to a point game, and look, hopefully with a free taker like Dalton. I know I put a kibosh on him earlier, but when he's taking frees and you're going to be in a game, so look, it's all to play for there, and Father needs to be happy now to have gotten that first point in the second half.
Alright, we're going to hear briefly from Johan van Graan looking ahead to tomorrow.
Yeah, look, we're still alive in this competition. It's out of our hands now, but it's always brilliant to play at Thomond Park, and we have incredible support. You know, the amount of Munster people that went to Racing, and the people at the airport, they were all brilliant. And, you know, we love to play at Thurman Park, and before the Leinster game on the 20th, we were unbeaten here for 2 years, and even that game came down to a line-out in the last minute of the game. And now we are really looking forward to play at home in which will be our last European game of the season at home. You know, the Ospreys have got quality players. Alan Wynne is one of the very best players in the world, and I was close to World Rugby Player of the Year, even though he's possibly not the captain in wording for them. He's definitely their spiritual leader, and it's a player that I respect a lot and we respect a lot. And even their performance against Saracens was very good. And the weather was against them in that second half, and obviously they'll come to Thurman Park with nothing to lose, and it's a new game of rugby.
Yeah, it's Johan van Grand there speaking ahead of what is now going to be a dead rubber tomorrow, Tomas, because Glasgow Warriors have just gotten their fourth try and bonus point against Sale Sharks. So that's it from Munster.
Yeah, look, I suppose another pretty bog standard interview from van Grand there.
doesn't give much away, does he?
No, not at all. But I guess how refreshing would it be if you come out and said, oh, we're probably going to be going playing for nothing, so yeah, it's going to be a meaningless game. But look, disappointing for Munster. Hopefully they'll give a few guys like Ben Healy out half a bit of game time. He's a fantastic player. I saw him play in the Schools Cup final maybe 2-3 years ago, and he was just different level than every other player on the pitch. So guys like that kind of need that experience, get the confidence levels up, and look, I think he could be a future Ireland number 10. So look, hopefully a few of these guys will get more game time and we can maybe put a bit of silver lining on it. But yeah, look, disappointing for Munster.
Alright, 36 minutes on the clock now in Croke Park. It's Tullamore leading by a point, 2-5 to 1-7 over Father O'Neill's. Father O'Neill's are on the attack, and they have a sideline cut here that Dalton is going to take. He's eyeing this one up, isn't he? He's looking at this going, I can put this over the bar. It's about 50 odd yards out.
Wouldn't put
left
it past
hand
him.
Side, near side, puts it up. It's not going to go over the bar. It's going to go into the edge of the square. Goal chance here. Goal for Father O'Neill's.
Yeah, look, I think it's Owen Conway. Owen Conway with a fantastic goal. Good ball in from Dalton's sideline. Obviously, he came off one of the defenders. Conway picked it up and bullet to the back of the net. I actually played for Imakili under 15s with Owen Conway. he's 37 or 38. I think he could have an Ireland junior title as well. So he's one of the stalwarts of this Father O'Neill's team. So fantastic to see him get a goal. I think he's 1-1 from play now. So look, a fantastic goal from him and a bit of momentum now for Father O'Neill's.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. There's 37 minutes on the clock. It's Father O'Neill's leading Tullamore at the moment now. 2-7 to 2-5 is how it currently stands in Croke Park. That game has just been turned right on its head by that fantastic goal for O'Neill's. So fingers crossed that they can go on now.
Yeah, Tommy Welsh has been pretty quiet for Tullamore. His brother Padraig has been on quite a bit of ball at centre back. But look, it looks like this. Oh, I think it could be a free in now for Tullamore, so look, it's going to be back to a point game, but look, it's livened up definitely in the second half.
Just some latest scores as well in the basketball at half time in the Super League. Neptune were leading the Dublin Lions 49 points to 37. In the Premier League, still scores between Newcastle United and Chelsea, 60 minutes on the clock there. Celtic still a goal up away to Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup, thanks to Lee Griffith's goal after 12 minutes. And Glasgow Warriors 28-0 up on Sale Sharks. So that's looking like Munster's goose. That is Munster's goose cut. Unless Sale Sharks come back and get a win. It's not impossible, is it?
I think
that kind of says it all, really.
I think I'd have a better chance to come back and win at Ireland now than that happening.
All right, back to a point. No, Zion and Croke Park, Tullamore now with that free. It went over the bar. O'Neill's 2-7, Tullamore 2-6. All right, so before we wrap up and hand you over to Stevie G for the rest of the evening, Conor McGregor back in UFC action tonight. Are you a fan, first off?
I definitely respect what he's achieved in the game. Look, then the discipline that is required for UFC, and particularly, I suppose, his skill set in terms of standing fighting in particular. Look, he's a good point for Father O'Neill to stretch it to lead to two Dalton again from play.
He's an animal.
Yeah, he could be a good option for Cork as well in the forward line. Probably a different option that they have at the moment. Yeah. Someone with a bit of physique and power as well. But I guess back to McGregor. I'd admire what he's achieved in the game of MMA. Obviously, look, the stuff out of the ring, all right, is a bit questionable, his character, but look, the ambition he had, the discipline he had, and coming from nothing to being one of the biggest sports stars in the world, you have to tip the hat to that. And he seems to have maybe become reinvigorated and almost kind of got his discipline back for this fight, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on about against the Cowboy. But I'd have respect for what he's achieved in the ring. I think obviously he could probably conduct himself a bit better out of it, but look, that's just the game of MMA, and I suppose what he's doing outside of the ring is probably separate than the sports person.
I think the appetite certainly isn't as big for Conor McGregor's fight this time round, as Tuller Rowan just put another point over the bar, so that's back to a point. Father Neil's 2-8, Tuller Rowan 2-7. There doesn't seem to be as much of a buzz around this fight as there has been. It's been a lot more low key. He's fighting Donald Cerrone, who's lost his last two to Justin Gaethje and to Tony Ferguson. Probably should have retired at this point, but he's still fighting. It's probably going to be a handy enough win for McGregor tonight, you would feel. It'd be interesting to see how much ring rust is a factor tonight. Hasn't fought since Khabib Nurmagomedov in 2018. So it'll be interesting to see how fresh McGregor is, how sharp McGregor is tonight. But looking forward to it regardless. UFC 246 tonight in Las Vegas. Going to hear briefly from McGregor himself, looking ahead to the fight.
On time yesterday, only a half hour late today, which is not bad. Less than hour.
I'm on the fight's getting close. I'm getting focused now. I want to fight. So I was early yesterday. I've been handling the duties that they've put before me. So give me a little bit of slack, please.
I was going to praise you. It was less
thank
than
you.
One, yeah.
Good man. Thank you.
Talk about yesterday, man, the press conference. I think it took a lot of people by surprise, right? The energy that was in there was obviously your first time back in front of the big crowd. There's no can throwing. There's no yelling at anybody. What did you make of yesterday and the energy there?
I have to say I enjoyed it. I mean, it was good. There was a competitive spirit there and a good energy in the crowd. And, you know, we're gearing up for a fight. I just react, like I said yesterday, I react how the situation is, and the situation has been good, so it's been respectful, a welcome change, right, so happy days.
I was going to say, a welcome change. I wonder, do you find this more pleasurable? I mean, I think in the past, man, you've had the weight of the world on your shoulders as you're, you know, creating these rivalries and making these intense battles that everybody wants to tune in for. Is this better?
Oh, there's still pressure here, right? There's still weight on the shoulders, so... I enjoy it. I enjoy these moments. This is what I love to do, right? So it's good to be back. It's a different response between myself and Donald, but it's still a high intense bout. And make no mistake, I'm coming with all my intent and all my skills to put Donald away.
Indeed.
I think, regardless of the result, I think I should probably face both of these men. I would like to face both of these men. I'd like to face Tony Ferguson. I've had a history with Tony, right? We managed Tony. He was well looked after. We had him one of the highest paid non-champions in the game. And, you know, there's history with Tony. So I'd like a bout with Tony at some stage, of course.
Yeah, that's Conor McGregor there speaking after or ahead of tonight's bout with Donald Cerrone. Going to cut that off because Tomás Father Neil's a running riot.
Realist, McGregor.
8-2-9 now, leading Tullerone. Tommy Walsh got a point to put Tullerone a point ahead. It looked as if they could kick on, but Declan Dalton got an unbelievable goal, full forward for Father O'Neill's, and Father O'Neill's number 12 then is followed up with another, so 4-8-2-9, so it's all kicking off in Croke Park. Forget about the UFC, it's all about the GAA.
I like it. 44 minutes on the clock there, fingers crossed. We will be talking about a Father O'Neill's victory. Killian Broderick it was, with that fourth goal for Father O'Neill's. Absolutely fantastic stuff. stuff from the Cork side. But still a bit to go on this Tullerone side. Very, very dangerous indeed. So we won't be counting our chickens just quite yet. 70 minutes to go on the clock. There's Tullerone pull one back. It's Father Neil's 4-8. Tullerone 2-10, so 4-point lead as things stand for Father Neil's. This would be fantastic tomorrow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable for the East Cork club. And Declan Dalton really is leading the way there, and it's probably a sign of things to come, hopefully, for Cork. Like we had just spoken about his physicality and his skill levels could bring a different option in the Cork full forward line or half forward line. So, but look, it looks like Father Neil's have the momentum. If they can continue this, look, it'll be a great day for Cork hurling.
All right, that's pretty much it from us for our show for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way on the Big Red Bench this evening. Our podcast will be online shortly. You can get that on redextra.ie or wherever you get your podcast from as well. Just search for Big Red Bench. We are back tomorrow from 6 p.m. Didn't have time to play Orla Barry tonight, one of Ireland's most successful ever Paralympic athletes, announcing her retirement. We'll speak to Orla tomorrow. Hopefully we'll talk about a Father O'Neill's win, and we'll have a reaction from Munster as well, and we'll also have a reaction from the Big Efforts Giving Cup derby tomorrow, UCC and CIT going head to head in the Marlock. Stevie's up next. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening, folks. Talk to you tomorrow at 6.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.